Amen, amen. Cycles. We're not going in cycles. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for this morning, God. Lord, we thank you that we are deciding not to go through cycles in our lives, Lord. We thank you that we have victory in you over everything in our lives. Lord, use me now. Allow your people to see you and hear only you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Good morning again. I am here to close out the Winning the War in Your Mind series. If this series has blessed you so far, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen, amen, and amen. Pastor has done an amazing job of breaking down how we can win the war in our minds. But I'm going to go to our focus text this morning. Amen. Our focus text this morning is out of Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. And it should be on our screens. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, as I said, Pastor's been dealing with winning the war in your minds for the last 3 weeks. And by way of recap, I'm just going to go over a little bit of what we've discussed so far. So the first one was the replacement principle, where Pastor said, remove the lies and replace it with the truth. Where are your thoughts falling short of his truth? Well, you will remove the lie and replace it with the truth. The enemy's weapon is the lie he can get you to believe. Once we can identify the lies, we can defeat them. Amen. And then we moved on to the rewire principle. Rewire your brain and renew your mind. How has your situation caused the wires to be crossed? Well, you will remove the lies behind your mental ruts and replace the neural pathways that Pastor talked about with truth trenches. And then last week, he talked about the reframe principle. The reframe principle, God is shifting our perspective. We cannot control what happens to us, but we can control how we perceive it. Are you seeing your life through the lens of God, or do you need to reframe your perspective? Use the power that God has given you to do some cognitive reframing. But this week, we're going to dig into the rejoice principle. Amen. Can you say the rejoice principle? Amen. The rejoice principle. This is my favorite principle. Amen. And our first point for today is the who and not the what. Repeat after me, the who and not the what. Well, we know the story from our focus text. Paul is in jail writing to his friends, the Philippians, and he is encouraging them to rejoice in the Lord always. Now, Paul was out doing what the Lord told him to do. He was witnessing for Jesus Christ. He was telling people about God and minding his business. But he told the people of the Philippians, he told them to rejoice in the Lord always and stand firm in the face of persecution. He told them to rejoice regardless of their circumstances. Now, the word rejoice comes from the Hebrew word kairo. Amen. Pastor gave me some tips on that. Kairo means to rejoice is a command. Kairo. When you say kairo, that's a command. Rejoice. So that's why I believe Paul said it twice in the focus text. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. He wanted them to know, even though he was beaten, arrested, and thrown in jail, he would continue to praise the Lord. Praise has more weight when we execute it during hard times. Amen. So now let's think about that for a moment. As I said, Paul was out doing the work of the Lord, telling people about Jesus and bringing folks to Christ, and bam, he's arrested. In fact, in that moment, how would you feel about that situation? How would you feel if you were minding your business, serving the Lord? You were spending time with him, like Pastor said in our tithing challenge. You were serving in ministry. You were using your gifts to the glory of God. And then problems hit. That happens to all of us, right? And we feel as though that's not fair. Do you praise God regardless of your circumstances, or do you retreat to other emotions? Do you begin to second guess? Do we begin to ask, is this all worth it? And now Paul tells us to rejoice anyway. Things are not easy, Paul. How could you tell me to rejoice? My world is crashing down all around me. Paul, what are you talking about? Problems arise, and he's telling us to rejoice. And anyway, Paul, why are you rejoicing? You in jail. What do you have to rejoice about? Well, that brings us to the point, the who, not the what. Paul was bloody and bound up in prison, and I believe if we asked him, what are you praising God for? He could not give you a what as his answer. The reality is his situation was bad. There was nothing good happening, but God was still good. He was praising God for the who he was in his life and not what he was going through. So my praise is based on the reality of God and not the circumstances of my reality. I'll say that again. My praise is based on the reality of God and not the circumstances of my reality. In other words, your praise is based on who God is, not based on what you're going through. And there is a praise in the house this morning for someone who has the discipline of praising God, even though things are tough right now. And if that is you, give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Because when your bills are due and your bank account is low, God is still good. When you receive that termination email, God is still good. When the doctor said, I'm sorry, there's nothing more that we can do, God is still good. When your children are not listening, when your spouse is getting on your last nerve, when your car breaks down, God is still good. Because God is good all the time. And all the time, amen, amen, amen. God is good all the time. So when problems arise, we tend to look at the problem and focus on that problem. But when you look just at the problem, you don't get the total picture. When you take a step back and look at everything, you get the real perspective. You begin to realize the ways that God has been blessing your life. When you look at the whole picture, that is why I can praise the God for the who and not the what. The who tells me that God's promises are still true. The who tells me that his love is unconditional. The who tells me his praise, his grace is still amazing. The who tells me his timing is still perfect. And the who tells me he makes ways when there are none. If you believe that, praise God right here for the who and not the what. Not what you're going through, but who God is in your life, regardless of your circumstances. Amen. God is still good, and God is still worthy of all the glory, of the honor, and of the praise. And just think about the ways he has kept you so far, the blessings that you don't deserve. And just Jesus laying down his life for me makes me know that I need to praise the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. I cannot give the Lord enough praise for all that he has done for me. And my soul cries out, hallelujah, amen, when I think about all the things that God has done for me and the ways that he has blessed me. Amen. So as we continue, we're going to praise before the provision. Amen. You need to praise God before the provision because you're thinking about the things, the history that you have with God. Amen. So let me be honest about Paul. So Paul, we know, was arrested a few times in the Bible. Paul was always getting thrown in jail. Amen. So the Bible records that Paul was arrested 3 times, but it's thought that he was arrested many more times, but just not specifically spoken about from Luke, who wrote Acts, or Paul himself. I believe that's why he spoke with such conviction when he was talking to the Philippians. When he said, rejoice always, he thought about the history that he had with God. Amen. He thought about what God had done for him and how God had moved the first time when he was in jail with Paul and Silas. You remember over in Acts 16 when Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. They were thrown in jail after casting out a demonic spirit of a slave. And the owners of that slave were upset. They could no longer use the slave for the demonic spirit in the slave for their own personal gain. Amen. So they were upset. They caused a big fuss and set off a chain of events that landed Paul and Silas into jail. Once they were in jail, they decided to praise God for the who and not the what was going on. And they also decided to praise before the provision. So often we hold off on praising God until he gives us exactly what we want. Doesn't that sound like a spoiled child? Amen. I won't be grateful, God, until you give me what I want. If you only do what I want you to do, God, I'll praise you. Amen. But God deserves better than that. Paul and Silas praised God before he answered their prayers or changed their circumstances. Amen. So that makes me think. So as I was studying and reading this, that made me think about something, and I'm going to date myself a little bit. But who remembers the JCPenney Christmas catalog? Anybody? So listen, me and my sister, we're 2 years apart. We used to look forward to the JCPenney Christmas catalog. Why? Because that meant that Christmas was coming. It used to come out around September, October, and we would fight over who's going to get the book first because we wanted to see all the new toys of the season. Amen. So what we would do is, you know, my sister would win because she was 2 years older than me, but when it was my turn to look at the book, I would go through the pages, I would fold them, I would circle things that I wanted with markers. I would have to narrow it down to three choices because my parents wasn't buying a million gifts at Christmas, amen. So they would tell us to give us the top three. So I would write my list, the top three. Okay, I want a Care Bear, and I want a Barbie Dream House, and I want the skates that you can wear your own sneakers with. Y'all remember that? Okay, so I wrote my list, and I gave it to my parents. And I remember being happy as I saw presents begin to form under the tree. I was like, ooh, I wonder if that's my skates. Ooh, I wonder if that's my Care Bear. And me and my sister would just be so excited as the things formed under the tree. And we didn't know what was in those boxes, but we were excited about it, amen? And I remember the joy me and my sister had counting down the days to Christmas. We had a little countdown in our room. We would, how many more days left to Christmas? And we had a spirit of expectation. Amen. We expected something to be under the tree that we asked for. And I was not excited because I had the toys in my hand at the moment. I was just excited about the potential of my parents buying them for me. And you can imagine, you know, around Christmas, you were on your best behavior. You were thanking your parents for dinner, and you were making your bed and keeping your room clean because you wanted those things, right? And you had a spirit of expectation that those things were going to appear for you on Christmas morning. Amen. And in the same way, I want to praise God because I know he can provide. So even if I don't have it yet, I'm praising God because I'm like, thank you, God, because I know you can do it. I know you have the ability to do this, God, and I just thank you in advance for what you're going to do because you love me, Daddy, right? You love me, and you're going to take good care of me. So I'm thanking God for advance. And when Christmas morning came, we praised God even more, amen. We were like, thank you, Jesus. I got this Care Bear. We skating with our skates. And we thanked our parents because they provided. They showed up, right? They didn't leave us hanging. We had something under the tree that we had weeks before had marked down, had put on our list. We prayed about it at night. Now I lay me down to sleep. Lord, give me this Care Bear. And it showed up. Amen. And that's what we need to do with God. We need to praise God before the conviction, because before the provision, because God has the ability to do anything and everything, exceedingly and abundantly everything, even what we can ask, think, or imagine. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for his provision. Amen. How many of you know that recognizing God's presence will give you peace in the midst of the storm? So often we get fixated on the presence of our problems and we lose focus on the presence of God. And like Paul, you have experience with God, don't you? Where you went through your circumstances and God brought you through the other side. So when trials come, look at Jesus. Amen. Look at Jesus when trials come. Don't look directly at your problem because we don't want to get fixated on that. And just like in our focus text, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So repeat after me, my experience plus God's presence is enough. My experience plus God's presence is enough. My experience with God, if I think about the things that I have been through and what God has brought me through, my experience and God's presence is enough to take my mind off of my issue that's going on right now and focus on the bigger picture. Amen. And focus on how good God is and how he has brought me through and how he has the potential to bring me through even this trial that we're going through right now. Amen. Amen. Because we know that God always shows up. God always shows up. My experience tells me that God always shows up. Amen. So when Paul and Silas were arrested the first time, they were in jail worshiping God. Amen. And in the middle of the night, God showed up. Over in Acts 16 and 26, it says, suddenly the massive earthquake in the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. They did not praise God because he showed up. God showed up because they praised him. Amen. Amen. This is how I process. Whenever I read the word of God, I think about things in my life that I can reflect on that kind of mirror what happens in the word. Amen. And when I read this, I thought immediately about the morning after our wedding. I'm not sure if I told this story before. Have I told y'all the story about the morning after our wedding? Amen. Amen. So the morning after our wedding, almost 15 years ago, amen, bless God, we were chilling. We were hanging out in the room and just thinking about how great our wedding was and how much fun we had and all of our friends that came. And we get a knock at the door. And the knock on the door is my father. He's banging on the door. And I'm like, why is he knocking on our door in the morning? But we answered and he said, hey, I need you guys to move your car because the parking lot is flooding. Now, unbeknownst to us, we didn't know it had rained the night before and that now the parking lot was flooding at the hotel. So Pastor got himself together, and he went out to move the car, and I was getting myself together. And a few minutes later, water just started to pour into the air conditioner. We were on the first floor. Water just started to pour into the air conditioner into our hotel room. So I was like, what is going on? I got myself together real quick, and I went outside, and I remember it like it was yesterday. It was just chaos in the parking lot. Everybody was trying to move their cars because cars were getting flooded. Things were happening. And there was this little boy, and he was probably 4 or 5. And he was running out ahead of his father, going towards their car. And the father was kind of, you know, lightly jogging after him. And next thing you know, the boy fell and he got swept away in the current. There was an undercurrent in the parking lot. Amen. And he got swept away and he got sucked into this drain. Just as quickly as he did, his father jumped over and grabbed both of his hands. And in that moment, I'm seeing all of this happen. My dad is out there. Pastor is out there. And the Holy Spirit told me to stop and pray and praise the Lord. In the midst of everything, it was chaos. People were screaming and yelling. Things were happening. Pray and praise God. So I began to pray. And just like the Matrix, like the raindrops slowed. And I couldn't hear anybody. I could no longer hear the screams. And And I was just praying and praising God. I was, as the man jumped on his, to hold his son's hand, he started getting sucked in himself. He couldn't even pull him out. So my father jumped on his feet, and then another person jumped on my father's feet. And Pastor was out there, and he was trying to help as well. And it was like a human chain had formed, and they were trying to pull this boy, but the suction was so strong. And if he got sucked in the strain, he would have been sucked into the little river that was behind the hotel that we had no idea was there. And so I'm praying and I'm praising, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this day, God. Bless each and every person that's in the human chain. Lord, allow this baby to be saved in the name of Jesus. And I thank you in advance for doing it, God. We just thank you, God. We just thank you. So after I was praying and praising, I remember opening my eyes. And at that moment, they're pulling a little boy out. The little boy was unharmed. Thank God. Amen. The little boy was unharmed. But that moment told me to praise God and pray. Amen. That is what the key is. When things happen, sometimes we get stuck and we don't know what to do, or we focus on the problem. Because if I just stood there and just screamed like the other people were doing, God knows. But the Holy Spirit told me to pray and praise the Lord. And that's what I did in that moment. And thank God he moved. He showed up. Amen. Amen. And so Pastor used the Rocky demonstration in the last sermon series. When you're in the war in your mind, you're fighting. Amen. And when you're in a fight, you need to do what? Keep both of your hands up to protect your face. So what this word is for today is the rejoice principle. You need to have both hands up and think of one hand as prayer and the other hand as praise. Amen. You need to protect yourself and keep your hands up at all times, because if you drop one, then what happens? You're open. You're open for the enemy to come in and hit you on that side. So you got to keep your hands up. Prayer and praise. Praise and prayer. Keep them up at all times. When problems arise, that's the stance that you have to get in. Prayer and praise. Amen. Amen. And amen. So, praise God, Sister Cherise. We have to be in that position. We've heard the saying, if it's not worth praying about, it's not worth worrying about. Amen. So we have to make sure that we stay in prayer, and then that we pray to God when things happen. And praise shifts the atmosphere. You have to remember everything that God has done when you're praising him. You're thanking God. You're thanking him. You're saying, thank you, God. You've blessed me more than I deserve. And when you do that, you take your focus off of the problem and you put it on God. And it reminds you of how faithful God has been in your life. When you're thanking God, all you're doing is recounting everything that he's done. And you're like, thank you, Lord, for being so faithful. Because as I think about the different things, I can thank him for his faithfulness. Amen. And how many of you know that the Lord is faithful? If the Lord is faithful in your life, give the Lord a hand of praise. You have a testimony that God shows up right on time. And when you praise him, he will show up. And when he shows up, it will change our thinking. And if we change our thoughts, we will win the war in our minds. And when we win the war in our minds, it will change our lives. Amen. So now that we've walked through this series, we know that we must use the tools that God has given us to fix our thoughts and win this war in our mind. I'm here to encourage you this morning to continue to praise God for the who and not the what you're going through. And continue to praise God before the provision shows up, and continue to have faith that God will always show up. Amen. So you can't lose. No matter what you're going through, you can't lose. You can't lose. You've got the victory in Christ Jesus. So let's rejoice, resurgence. Let's rejoice in the fact that we have the victory over every situation in our lives. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. I remember the first time I learned, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. And come before his presence with singing. Know ye that he is the Lord, and that is he that have made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So he will take care of us. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth through all generations. So let's rejoice in the Lord, resurgence. Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for always showing up, Lord. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for being faithful, God. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.